calling. Oh, come to the church on the
Howdy, good friends. Are you going to be able to join with us in worship at the Country Church of Hollywood? Well, that sure is fine. Nothing pleases us nearby neighbors more than having you fur-off folks a-visiting us and joining in brotherly love and fellowship at our meetings. Sort of sets a good standard for folks everywhere. You know, I believe my choice of all Brother and Sister Hopkins' talks is when they've been to spend the day with some of the neighbors hereabouts and stop in their buggy on the side of the road to talk it all over. Well, that's just what they're doing now. See what you can pick up of their talk about their day at the Wigginses.
Well, there sure are a lot of them Wigginses when they have a family reunion, ain't they?
There certainly are a lot of them.
Yes, sir.
Fine folks, too, every one of them.
I reckon they are. Who, that is.
Can you name the different families there today?
Yes, I think I can. Dan Hopkins, now you stand still there. Behave yourself. Let's see, there was Brother and Sister Ed Wiggins and...
Hank and his wife.
Yeah, that's right. And Shad and his family. And don't forget Mose. He ain't married yet.
That was a good one I got off on Mose, wasn't it?
You know, me and Ed was in a big way of talking about the best way to plant watermelons. And you know, I missed that. What was it you said, honey?
Well, Mose was going on about the Simpkins girl that
he's
been a-sparking.
Oh, yeah, they've been going together for over a year now.
Yes, but Mose said her heart was as hard as glass.
He did?
Yes, and he couldn't make any impression on her.
What'd you tell him?
I said, Mose, did you say her heart was hard as glass? He said, yes, it was. So I said, well, then, why don't you try a diamond on it?
Yeah, diamond. I bet that got him down, didn't it?
By the way, Josiah, you said something I didn't like today.
Well, Dan, say you never fail now to fault me about something when we spend the day out somewhere. Now, what have I done now?
It wasn't anything you did. It was something you said.
Me?
Yes, it was you. You didn't think I heard you men folks are talking out there on that front gallery, did you? I did.
Me? What to say?
Yes. Hank Wiggins asked you if you'd done much courting before you married me. I heard what you said, all right.
Get up, Fair Dan. We better be getting on. Honey, I don't recollect saying nothing. What did I say?
Well, you said, oh, I didn't do no other real courting. I fell in the first engagement.
Oh, was that it?
Yes, I didn't like that either. The first engagement sounds like a battle or something.
Well, honey, that was just a joke. Didn't you understand
that? I don't like such jokes.
Get up, Fair.
Wish he'd asked me how much courting I did. I'd have set up plenty. I had more bows than I could shake a stick at.
Now, honey, what makes you do like that, tearing me all up here just as we're getting here to church? And here's the bump right here now. Slow down there, Dan Hopkins.
Sure, it's different when I talk about my courting.
No, it ain't the courting, honey, that rives me up. You know, it's what I know's in your mind. Ooh. Now, that banker feller, Right there in your mind now that you could have married and you didn't.
I didn't want to, though, did I?
Who knows anything about a woman? First they have your spirits up and then a way down. Who knows what or who's who?
Whoa. Shall float from sea to sea. Our captain goes before us. We march to victory. Wherever he leads us, or whatever he bids us do, we follow.
Howdy. You know, it's just standing there in that door, you all sound sort of good, even if you are a country fella. That's pretty good whang to that one. I'll tell you a better one, though, that I like a little better than that one. The Heavenly Shepherd. See if you all can sing that. 114.
Fine,
too. The Heavenly Shepherd is seeking the lost. He's seeking an old at such infinite cost. But if in your sin you have wandered astray, he's calling for you today. Calling, calling, calling this shepherd so true.
Another good song here. Y'all gonna sing first? It's From Every Stormy Wind That Blows. Let's have a spasm or two of that. That's a beautiful thing. If you get it right. That's the one that Grandpa Wardle likes, ain't it? Yeah, it's sort of touching. Well, I differ from him. I reckon maybe that Holy Spirit, faithful guide, will be better, and I wish you all close meeting with it today when we are closing. I love to hear that just kind of fade out of my mind as I'm getting the meeting coming to an end. Well, I was thinking of a different things that I might talk on today, and Sarah says to me the other day, she was going through that chest, you know, that we've got all our keepsakes in it and all them beautiful tin types of the folks that's done passed on and one thing and another. And we was a-crying and a-talking on, and she handed me a Barlow pocket knife. And I says, "Law me, got it right here. If this ain't a sight in the world, cost 2 bits, I reckon 40 year ago, little old Barlow pocket knife. If that there knife could talk, brother, it'd bring tears to your eyes." Sarah remembers it. Yeah, we went out a-walking one Sunday evening, and she'd got riled over something, and she turned and left me right at the lower bridge. And I stood there and saw her fade off down the road, and fella come up there in a buggy and hoisted his hand, waved at her, and she got in the buggy, and I saw him as they drove off. Well, so I like to perish with heartache. I looked down there and I seed me a beech tree and I walked up to it and I fell up against it. Of course, I don't mind telling them now, you know, after we've been married 31 years, it don't make no difference. Now, you need to laugh. You know it just like it was. You know the very fella, too. And so I just fell up against that tree, you know. And you know one thing? I was just old there. I said everything's for Kim. I want to die of a broken heart. And one of them faithful old hoot owls was up there in that tree and said a hoo hoo. I said, me, I don't care who knows it. And I put my hand on my heart just like I done then. And you know, I just took out this Barlow knife and I carved in there a heart and I put an arrow in it right straight through it. That is my heart. But I want to tell you all something else. Now, I say you need to be blushing. Now, you know it's the truth just as well as I. Just well tell them all. You tell it yourself sometime. I'm going to tell it first. We went back. It is in the spring, wasn't it? Long in April. Just as the hollyhocks was coming out good and the dogwood blossoms was blooming, we went by and she said, cut that ira out of your heart and put another one by it. And she took this very knife and she cut in there, Sarah, on her heart, and I put Josiah on mine, and then we kind of twined them together. You know they're down there on that old beech tree now? We was a-setting the other night, a-holding hands. We got grandchildren now. And I said, Sarah, you know, that little Barlow pocket knife is a symbol of something that is cut deeper in that, the love that's cut in our hearts. And listen, folks, you don't have to carve your name on no beech tree to have abiding things. There are things that laugh at times. And genuine love is one. And by the way, all you neighbors that's gathered here today, you know some of you maybe ain't never carved your name on no beech tree with a Barlow pocket knife. But you know a way to live forever. They call that immortality, you see, if you just keep on living in the memory of men. Well, if you want to live forever, carve your name on the hearts of men. I was just a-thinking, neighbors, you know there ain't no grander thing to plan for than to live forever because of loving kindness stamped upon the hearts of human people. Well, goodbye, folks.
Goodbye, everybody.